Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're going to be doing a deep dive into AstraZeneca's nine-month and Q3 2024 results.
Yeah, and we're really going beyond just the numbers. You know, we've got their investor presentation and even the earnings call transcript.
Yeah, so we can really get into the details and see what's really going on, you know, what's really driving their performance.
Exactly.
So, first impression, AstraZeneca is having a really good year.
Yeah.
I mean, double-digit growth across all their therapy areas.
It is impressive.
It really is.
Total revenue is up 19% year-to-date, and core EPS is up 11%.
Yeah, and that's even more impressive when you consider that their 2023 numbers were boosted by a one-time $1.1 billion gain.
From collaborations, yeah.
Yeah, so they're doing even better than it looks at first glance.
Mm-hmm.
But where's this growth coming from? Is it all concentrated in one place, or?
That's what's interesting, actually, is that the growth is really globally balanced.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the U.S. is still their biggest market.
Right.
Makes up about 43% of their revenue.
Wow.
But they're also seeing really strong performance in Europe and emerging markets.
And emerging markets are getting bigger and bigger these days, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting because emerging markets outside of China are actually growing faster than China itself right now.
Oh, wow. That's a really good point. That means that they're not too reliant on any one particular market.
Exactly. It's a very diverse global footprint.
Which is good for mitigating risk.
Absolutely.
Speaking of risk, we can't ignore the recent investigations in China.
Right.
Obviously, we're going to stick to the facts from the source material, but it's definitely something we need to talk about.
Yeah, and unfortunately, AstraZeneca hasn't released a lot of details. They did say in the earnings call that they haven't been directly approached yet regarding these investigations.
Okay.
But they have said they're committed to cooperating fully if requested.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to say what the impact's going to be, but I imagine there's a lot of speculation going around.
There is. It's really too early to say what the repercussions might be.
For sure.
It's something we'll have to watch closely.
It is.
Yeah.
Especially considering how important China is to their overall business.
Yeah.
For now, though, it seems like they're sticking to their commitment to China and their investment plans there.
Yeah. For now.
Let's shift gears a bit and dive into their specific therapy areas, starting with oncology.
Okay, sounds good.
Oncology is really their star performer.
Without a doubt, 22% revenue growth.
In the first 9 months of 2024.
That's incredible.
It's pretty amazing.
They have a really impressive lineup of blockbuster drugs that are driving this growth.
Yeah, their oncology portfolio is truly remarkable.
Mm.
What do you think are the main things that are driving that success?
Well, they have a strong focus on developing innovative therapies.
Right.
For high-need areas like lung, breast, and blood cancers.
Yeah, those are some big ones.
Absolutely. And they're also really good at expanding the use of their existing drugs.
Okay.
To treat new indications and patient populations.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, it is.
And speaking of specific drugs, Tagrisso is a big one, isn't it?
Tagrisso is huge. It's really experiencing some incredible growth right now.
Yeah, and why is that?
Well, partly it's because patients with metastatic lung cancer are staying on the treatment longer.
Oh, okay.
And also they've been successful in getting new indications and approvals.
Oh, wow.
So they're able to use it to treat earlier stages of lung cancer now, too.
And then there's Calquence, which is like a leader in the BTK inhibitor class.
Yes.
Can you quickly explain what a BTK inhibitor is?
Sure. BTK inhibitors basically block a protein called Bruton's tyrosine kinase.
Okay.
Which is really important for the growth and survival of certain cancer cells.
Got it.
So by inhibiting BTK, Calquence can target these cancer cells really effectively,
okay,
especially in blood cancers like chronic lymphocytic leukemia.
Wow, so it's like really targeted.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very targeted therapy.
That's really interesting how that all works.
It's amazing how far we've come with these targeted therapies.
It really is, and Calquence is doing really well, isn't it?
Yeah. It's doing great. It's pretty much dominating the first line chronic lymphocytic leukemia market.
Right.
And they're expanding into mantle cell lymphoma as well.
Nice.
Yeah, they've got some promising trial data there.
And we can't forget about Enhertu.
Oh no, Enhertu's another big one.
Right.
It's becoming the standard of care in an HER2 positive and HER2 low metastatic breast cancer.
And it's even being used for other types of cancer now too, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's starting to show promise in tumor agnostic settings.
Oh, wow.
Particularly gynecologic cancers.
That's pretty amazing how one drug can be used for so many different things.
It is, and it speaks to how effective it is.
And Lynparza is doing well too, right?
Yeah, Lynparza is holding its own as the leading PRP inhibitor globally.
That's great.
It's just showing consistent strength across all these different tumor types.
It's incredible. With such a strong lineup of drugs in their oncology portfolio, it's no wonder that segment's doing so well.
Yeah, they've really got a winning formula.
So oncology is obviously doing really well, but what's coming next? What's in the R&D pipeline that you're particularly excited about?
Oh, there's so much to be excited about. Imfinzi, for example, just had a breakthrough on bladder cancer.
Really?
With their Niagara trial.
Oh, wow. And what did that show?
Well, it's the first perioperative immunotherapy regimen to show a survival benefit in muscle-invasive bladder cancer.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's a really significant development because it opens up a whole new avenue for treatment.
That's a game changer.
It really is.
It's great to see how they're constantly innovating and pushing the boundaries.
Absolutely.
What else are they working on?
They're also making great progress with their next-generation immuno-oncology bispecifics and antibody-drug conjugates.
Oh, those are some really promising areas.
They really are cutting-edge technology with the potential to revolutionize cancer treatment.
And what about that QCS biomarker I've been hearing about?
Oh, yeah, that's really cool.
What is that all about?
Well, imagine being able to predict which patients will benefit most from a specific treatment.
Oh, wow.
That's the power of the QCS biomarker.
Oh, I see.
Which stands for Quantitative Continuous Scoring.
Okay.
And it uses advanced technology to better select patients for treatment.
That's amazing. So they're not just developing new treatments, but also new ways to make sure the right people get those treatments.
Exactly. It's about making treatment more personalized and effective.
That's really exciting.
It is.
And they're using this with Dato-DXd, right?
Right.
Which is their TROP2-directed antibody drug conjugate.
Yes.
And I remember there were some problems with the initial FDA filing.
Yeah, that's right.
So what's the plan now for Dato-DXd?
Well, they initially wanted a broad approval in non-small cell lung cancer.
Okay.
But they ended up withdrawing their application for that indication.
Oh, so what are they doing now?
They've refocused their application.
Okay.
They're now targeting later line EGFR mutated non-small cell lung cancer.
Okay.
And they've actually applied for breakthrough therapy designation.
Oh, wow. So they're still pretty confident in the drug.
Yeah, it seems like they are, especially with the QCS biomarker. It seems like they think it will help them refine patient selection.
Yeah. So it sounds like they're trying to be really strategic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're using the data they have to increase their chances of success.
Exactly.
That's good to hear.
It is.
Sounds like they have a lot of promising data from their ongoing trials.
They do.
So we'll have to keep an eye on that.
Definitely.
Let's move on to AstraZeneca's biopharmaceuticals business.
Okay.
It's not their biggest segment, but it's still growing quite a bit.
It is. They achieved a solid 20% growth in the first 9 months of the year.
Wow.
Yeah, they have a strong presence in a lot of areas like cardiovascular, renal, and metabolism. CVRM,
okay.
Respiratory and immunology, RNI,
right.
And vaccines and immune therapies.
Wow, they really do have a lot going on.
They do. It's a very diverse business.
Well, let's dive in and take a closer look.
Let's do it. So let's start with their CVRM portfolio. I think that's a good place to start. Their CVRM portfolio is anchored by Farxiga.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that one.
Which is their SGLT2 inhibitor.
Okay, and that's for?
It's showing really strong global demand right now.
Oh, wow.
And it's really solidified its place in the treatment of type 2 diabetes, heart failure, and chronic kidney disease.
Wow, so it's used for a lot of different things.
Yeah, it is. It's a very versatile drug.
What do you think is driving that success?
I think a big part of it is that it addresses both heart failure and diabetes.
Oh, okay.
Which often go together.
Right, yeah.
So it's really tapping into a growing need for treatments that can address both of those conditions.
That makes sense.
And on top of that, it has a really good safety profile.
It's always important.
Yeah, and it's consistently shown positive outcomes in clinical trials.
So it's not just treating the symptoms. It's actually improving patients' lives.
Exactly. It's about making a real difference for patients.
And they also recently launched Wainua for ATTR polyneuropathy, right?
Yes, they did. And it seems to be gaining traction.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Prescribers from a lot of different specialties are starting to use it.
That's good to hear.
It really shows AstraZeneca's commitment to developing therapies for rare and complex diseases.
Yeah, and speaking of commitment, their R&I space is booming too.
It is. TezSpire and Breztri are really leading the charge there.
Yeah, I've heard of those. So TezSpire, that's their TSLP monoclonal antibody.
Yeah, that's right. It's continuing to grow in the U.S.
Oh, nice.
And it's gaining new patient share in Europe and Japan and emerging markets.
So it's really becoming a global treatment option.
It is. It's a really powerful treatment option for severe asthma.
Yeah, that's a really tough condition to live with.
It is. And TezSpire is offering relief to a lot of patients who haven't responded well to other treatments.
That's great. And then Breztri, their triple fixed dose combination inhaler.
Yes.
That's steadily gaining market share in its class.
It is. It's a really convenient option for patients.
Yeah. I can see how that would be appealing.
Having multiple medications in one inhaler can really improve patient adherence.
That makes sense.
Which ultimately leads to better outcomes.
Right, because if you're not taking your medication as prescribed, it's not going to work as well.
Exactly. And Breztri has a really exciting long-term potential.
Oh, why is that?
They have some upcoming asthma trial readouts.
Okay.
And they're doing ongoing outcomes trials to explore its benefits in both pulmonary and cardiac endpoints.
Wow. So it could be a real game changer.
It could. And what about Symbicort?
Oh, yeah. Symbicort. I remember that one.
That's still holding strong, even though there's some uncertainty about its future.
Yeah, with generics coming onto the market.
Exactly.
It's impressive that it's still doing so well.
It really is. It speaks to the brand loyalty that Symbicort has built up over the years.
Yeah, people trust it.
They do. But I think the focus now is really on the next generation of treatments like Breztri.
Okay.
Which offer even better efficacy and convenience.
Right. So while they're building on their successes, they're also looking ahead to the future.
Exactly. It's a good strategy.
It is. So what about the next wave of CVRM drugs?
Oh, they have a very robust pipeline in the CVRM space.
Right.
One drug to watch is baxdrostat.
Baxdrostat, okay.
It's a potential first-in-class treatment for uncontrolled hypertension.
Oh, wow. And when will we hear more about that?
We should see phase 3 readout next year.
Oh, so soon.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
That's great because uncontrolled hypertension is a huge problem worldwide.
It is. It affects millions of people.
So a new treatment option could make a big difference.
Absolutely. And they're also working on AZD0780,
what's that?
It's an oral PCSK9 inhibitor.
Okay.
And early trials have shown really impressive LDL-C reduction.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. So it could be a powerful new tool for managing cholesterol levels.
That's exciting.
It is. And they're also really focused on developing novel combinations.
Oh, okay.
To tackle these complex conditions and comorbidities.
Right. Because a lot of times people don't just have one health process.
Yeah, exactly. They might have multiple things going on.
Yeah. It's really important to look at the whole picture.
It is. And that's what AstraZeneca is doing.
So they're investigating combinations of different drugs like dabigatran, AZD0780, and others.
Yes.
To really target specific patient populations.
Exactly. It's about personalizing treatment.
That's great.
And making sure that each patient gets the best possible care.
And that brings us to their rare disease segment.
Okay.
Where they're seeing steady growth and some really exciting potential.
Yeah. Their rare disease segment delivered a respectable 14% growth.
Wow.
Driven by Ultomiris reaching blockbuster status.
Wow. That's a big deal.
It is. And they've also seen continued growth of Strensiq and Koselugo.
So they're clearly committed to developing treatments for rare diseases.
They are. Wow. They see the value in serving these underserved populations.
That's great to see.
It is. So what about Ultomiris? What do you think is driving its success?
Well, it's steadily replacing Soliris.
Yeah.
And most patients in major markets are expected to transition to Ultomiris by the end of the year.
That's right.
And there's really strong demand for it in neurology indications, like generalized myasthenia gravis, and neuromyelitis optica spectrum disorder.
Those are some serious conditions.
They are.
And Ultomiris is offering new hope to patients with these conditions.
That's great. And Koselugo is another success story.
Yes, especially with the positive results from their COMET trial.
Right. That trial showed that Koselugo is effective in adult patients with NF1-PN.
Yes.
Which is a rare genetic condition characterized by benign tumors.
Right.
That's a big step forward.
It is. It means that treatment can now be expanded to a larger patient population.
That's great.
It really is. AstraZeneca is doing some really important work in the rare disease space.
They are. It's great to see that they're not just focused on the blockbuster drugs, but also on developing treatments that can make a real difference for people with rare diseases.
I agree. It's a very important part of their business.
It's really great to see a company like AstraZeneca focusing on both those blockbuster drugs and these therapies for rare diseases.
It is. It shows their commitment to a really wide range of patients.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not just about developing new treatments either, is it? They're really redefining what it means to be a pharmaceutical company in today's world.
Yeah, you're right. Their focus on things like sustainability, diversity, and inclusion.
Yeah.
It's really setting a new standard for the industry.
It is. They're not just talking about it. They're actually doing
exactly. it. Exactly. Actions speak louder than words.
And their commitment to patient centricity.
Yes.
That's really driving their efforts to improve access to healthcare globally.
It's refreshing to see a company that truly puts patients first.
It really is. Huh. So with all that in mind, what are some of the key things we should be looking out for in 2025?
Well, they have a pretty packed schedule.
Yeah.
A lot of significant indication expansions and pivotal trial readouts coming up.
Oh, exciting. Like what?
Well, one to watch is TruCap.
TruCap. Okay.
Which is their potential first-in-class treatment for PTEN-deficient hematologic stem cell transplantation.
Okay. For those of us who don't speak doctor, can you translate that?
Well,
of course. So PTEN-deficient hematologic stem cell transplantation is a complex condition
yeah.
that affects the bone marrow.
Okay.
And TruCop is a targeted therapy
right.
that's shown a lot of promise in early trials.
Okay.
So if it's successful, it could be a major breakthrough for these patients.
Well, it's a potential game changer.
Yeah, it could be.
In a really high-need area.
Exactly.
What else is coming up?
They're also exploring in HER2 in earlier lines of breast cancer.
Okay.
Which could really change how we treat this very common cancer.
That would be huge.
It would. And Imfinzi's potential in bladder and lung cancer is also generating a lot of excitement.
Wow. So a lot of potential there.
A lot of potential.
And we can't forget about Fasenra.
Oh, yes. Fasenra.
Their IL-5 inhibitor.
Right.
Which is being investigated for COPD.
Yes. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Another major area of unmet need.
Absolutely.
They really are covering a lot of ground.
They are. And they're not just relying on traditional drug development either.
Oh, what else are they doing?
They're pushing the boundaries with these disruptive technologies.
Oh, wow.
That could really revolutionize medicine.
Like what?
Well, their in-house antibody drug conjugate programs are moving along really nicely.
Okay.
Several are entering phase 3 trials.
Oh, wow.
And their work in immuno-oncology, bispecifics, and cell therapies is also incredibly promising.
So they're not afraid to invest in the future of medicine?
No, they're not. They're really committed to innovation.
That's great.
It is. And they're even exploring weight management therapies.
Oh, whoa.
Which is a growing area of concern globally.
Yeah, for sure.
So they're looking beyond traditional disease areas and thinking about the overall health and well-being of people.
Yeah, that's really important.
It is. It's a holistic approach to healthcare.
AstraZeneca is a company that's not afraid to take risks and push boundaries.
They're really setting a high bar for the industry.
They are. Their vision and dedication to innovation is really inspiring.
It is. It shows what's possible when you have the right people, resources, and determination.
Absolutely. Well, that was a really fascinating look at AstraZeneca's performance and future plans.
It was. They're doing some really amazing things.
I'm really optimistic about their potential to shape the future of healthcare.
Me too. They're a company to watch for sure.
They are. Well, for our listeners, we hope this deep dive has given you a better understanding of the impact AstraZeneca is having on the world of healthcare.
Yeah, they're really at the forefront of innovation.
And they're innovating on multiple fronts.
Absolutely.
From developing groundbreaking treatments to really redefining what it means to be a responsible company.
It's a great example to follow.
It is. And remember, knowledge is power.
Yes, it is.
The more we know about the companies and the innovations that are shaping the future of healthcare.
Right.
The better equipped we are to make good decisions about our own health and well-being.
Exactly. So keep learning. Keep asking questions and stay informed.
That's how we all create a healthier future.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It was a pleasure being here. We'll be right back.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.